Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
They're afraid they're going to be put out of their synagogue and their life is going to change. They're afraid that they're going to be made fun of. And I would say to you today, if you believe in Jesus, are you courageous? Are you strong enough to let the people around you know that you are a Christian? I don't know if you know this or not, but the world doesn't think that Christians are the hippest thing out there.
All you have to do is look to the media and Hollywood to know that Christians are not at all respected in this world. They are ridiculed, hated, and persecuted, just like God said we would be. Only God sees the heart, and what He knows about us is so much more important than what others in this world think. Stand bold for Christ and live as a living witness for Him. With more from John 12, 27 through 50, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
When they looked at the coming of Jesus, they saw it way in the future and they couldn't see the nuances. Driving down the road and you're driving into a mountain range, from a long ways away, it just looks like one giant mountain. But once you get close and you start to drive in it, you notice that there's valleys and there's hills and it's got a lot of depth. That's the coming of Jesus. We see it from a distance and it's like, wow, there it is. But once we get closer, there's a lot of nuances. And here's the thing, some of us do really well with nuances and some of us don't do so well with nuances. There's a lot of nuances in the return of Jesus Christ, and so they just ask this question. And so Jesus now, rather than responding to their theological question, Jesus comes down to what's important. It doesn't matter whether or not you think that the Messiah will die or whether he will live forever or will never die. That's not what matters, but Jesus boils it down to what's important. Look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you are in the light, believe the light, that you may become sons and daughters of the light." But these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Jesus is saying, you now have the light among you. Don't worry about the future right now, but worry about walking in the light that you've been given, because the day is coming when there will be darkness. We have that truth as well. We're living in a world that is becoming more and more secular. The Bible talks about the great apostasy. That is, that there will be people turning away from Christ. The Europe that used to be the center of Christianity, in one small area, G. Campbell Morgan, F.B. Meyer, and Charles Spurgeon all had churches in the same area in England. They used to send missionaries over to the United States because we needed help. And now England, Europe, UK, Ireland have become highly secularized. Israel itself is highly secularized, and the community that we are living in is becoming more and more secularized. We see it happening among millennials. When they are asked the question, "What religion are you?" the majority of them write, "None," because they are becoming more and more secularized. That's the world we live in. The day is coming when we will be in darkness. Walk in the light while you have the light, so there will be no more darkness. In other words, live for Jesus today, because the day is coming when you won't be able to see. And how are you going to find your way if you can't see? And so Jesus says, live for him today and live wholeheartedly. He goes and he hides himself, and we find the responses of some of the people. Verse 37, "But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him." He had risen a little girl from the dead, took her by the hand, said, "Little girl, arise," and lifted her up from the grave. He had raised a guy who had been dead for 4 days, and people went and had meals and sat down with him. He was so evidential for Jesus being the Messiah that his enemies said, "Let's not only kill Jesus, let's kill Lazarus as well," because people are believing in him because of it. They saw the miracles and they didn't believe. Now, I think that that tells us something about certain people. There are some people who will not believe no matter what. You and I have been given incredible evidence. I like to use that word evidential. I like to say that our faith is evidential. The Bible is full of prophecies that tell the future. In Isaiah 40, God said, "I'm God, there's no one like me. I'm God and there is no other. I tell the beginning from the end." And he's given us prophecies in the Bible which are absolutely amazing. and yet people turn away from them. If Nostradamus had given the kind of prophecies that the Bible gets, boy, he gave his little quatrains, which are these little sayings, right? And they're the kind of rhythmic, and they're easy to fit into history. And people say, well, look at this. He's talked about Hitler. He called him Hister, but he talked about Hitler. Why didn't he call him by his name? First thing that I say. The second thing is, Hister is a river in the area that he was at. So he was talking about some other things. But nevertheless, the Bible is far more impressive, and people reject it. People won't even look into it. They refuse to look into the evidence. And that's pretty amazing. Not only that, God's setting people free. God's touching hearts. We have all of the manuscripts of the New Testament. Do you know that there are 24,000 New Testament manuscripts? There are 5,000 Greek manuscripts of the New Testament that was written in Greek. We have 5,000 Greek manuscripts. We have the Old Testament. We have, in 1947, the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered. Among the Dead Sea Scrolls was an entire copy of the book of Isaiah, which is full of prophecies, by the way. And when they found it, they thought, oh, now we have a copy of the book of Isaiah that is 500 years older, newer. It's 500 years different than the one that we have. So before that was discovered, they had one that had been around for 500 years, that was 500 years old. Now they have one that's over 2,000 years old. When you compared those 1,500 years, there were some differences, spelling differences and punctuation differences. But there wasn't anything other than that. All of the prophecies were there. This is strong evidence, but people choose not to believe. They choose to believe because they don't want to believe. Or they choose to believe because maybe they've gone too far. What do I mean by that? Look at what Jesus says in verse 38. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been received? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, and lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. What did God say there? They could not believe, and he blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart. It's possible that someone could get to a point where they have gone too far and they cannot believe. That's a scary thought. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says anyone, and that includes everybody in this room, anyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says that God desires all would be saved and all would come to the knowledge of the truth. God's desire is for people to come to Christ. I used to be a youth pastor, and before I was youth pastor, I ministered to junior high. And I don't know if you know this about junior high kids. They seem to feel things deeper than we feel them. Have you ever noticed that about them? Am I crazy? You guys look at me like I'm crazy? I'm not crazy. This girl came to me, she's 14 years old. She said, I've committed this. And she had her Bible open to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4 says, once you've tasted of these heavenly gifts, and then you've walked away, that it's impossible to renew you to repentance. And I said to her, and it's not the first time that a teenager had brought me those as a youth pastor. And I said to her, well, do you wanna walk with him again? And she said, yeah, but I can't because I did this. And I said, you're misreading it. It doesn't say you can't be saved. It doesn't say that once you've gone away, you can never be restored to salvation. It says you can't be restored to repentance. That means that if you want to, you haven't gone too far. If you want to repent, then God hasn't hardened your heart. He hasn't blinded your eyes. The person with the hard heart and the blind eyes can't repent. Do you see that? So it's that person doesn't want to believe. So if you're here today and you say, well, it's unfair that you could go so far that God wouldn't save you. Well, then repent. Well, I don't want to repent. Well, then maybe you've gone too far. Well, that's not fair. Then repent. But I don't want to repent. I don't know what to tell you. If you repent, you can be saved. But if your eyes are blinded and your heart is hard, you're not going to want to repent. You're not going to want to come back. You are going to be closed to the evidence. And that's a scary thing. It's scary that God might reach out to you, and that you would reject, and then go too far. They went so far that when Jesus did good miracles around them, like I said, Jesus, he healed people with withered hands. He cleansed lepers. These are the kind of things that God does. They're not the kind of things Satan does. And so what did they say when they saw the good works Jesus did? He does these things by the power of Beelzebub. We would say the devil. The devil doesn't heal people with leprosy. The devil doesn't heal people with withered hands. But they didn't want to believe these miracles so much. They saw them, but they didn't want to believe them, that they blamed it on the enemy. And that was a sign that they had committed the unforgivable sin. And the unforgivable sin is going too far. The unforgivable sin is your rejection. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And why Jesus will plead with them. It goes on to say then in verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. Well, that's good. Even among the Sanhedrin, the scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers, the Sadducees. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Can you imagine believing that Jesus is the Messiah, but being more afraid of what people think than of what God thinks? I'll use a word here, and I think it's appropriate for these guys. These guys are cowards. They have a conviction. They believe that God is God, but they're afraid. They're afraid they're going to be put out of their synagogue and their life is going to change. They're afraid that they're going to be made fun of. And I would say to you today, if you believe in Jesus, are you courageous? Are you strong enough to let the people around you know that you are a Christian? I don't know if you know this or not, but the world doesn't think that Christians are the hippest thing out there. The world doesn't think that we're all that. And when the world finds out that you're a Christian, they're like, why are you a Christian? And especially if you're young, you're afraid to let people know that you're a Christian because you're going to lose your cool. Now, let me let you in on a little bit of a secret. You're going to lose it anyway. Okay? Look around you here, for those of us that are older. You need to know this about us. Some of us were cool. We're not anymore. We know that. We know our hip days are behind us. And that's proven by the fact that I use the word hip. What word do you, what word do the kids use? You know, for someone who's with it or cool or whatever they use. But who cares? Who cares what people say? They're perishing. They're probably talking bad about you behind your back anyway. You're trying to do everything you can do to get them not to do that. But instead, be bold and be courageous and be strong and let them see the light of Christ in you. Who knows how many of them would come to Christ because of you? Maybe not tomorrow, but we've been called, what does the Bible say? One sows, another man waters, and God gives the increase. We go out and do the work that God's called us to do. We live our lives in such a way that people see Jesus around us. I'm not saying that you have the name of Jesus tattooed on your forehead. I'm not saying that you put a neon sign hat above your head that you wear everywhere that says born again. But I'm saying that you live your life in such a way that people can see you because you are a living witness. And who knows how God will use that and what God will do. I'll encourage you to be strong and be courageous for the call that God has on your life to stand up for him. Let people know the stand that you've made. You'll be made fun of. You'll be mocked. It's happened to all of us. When I was in my early 20s, I worked in an auto shop. I did auto upholstery. I let everybody there know that I was a Christian. I was a youth pastor at the same time that I worked at the auto shop. And I let everybody there know that I was a Christian. And it happened pretty quick because a Friday night afterwards, they would start drinking as soon as, I know it's shocking, an auto shop where the guys started drinking as soon as the, you know, time was done on Friday. And I would walk outside, and when I first worked there, they tossed me a beer. I caught the beer and I tossed it back to them. And I said, I don't drink. What? Eventually, they found out that I was a Christian. And here's the thing. They mocked me, okay? They made fun of me. They pushed me until I almost fought. I almost fought them. Now, I was 5'11 and weighed 125 pounds. I couldn't fight my way out of a paper bag, and I still almost fought them, okay? But before I left that place, I was able to share Christ with every one of them. Not because I forced it, not because I walked around with my Bible, not because I went up to everybody and said, can I share Jesus with you? Can I talk to Jesus with you? I just lived my life in front of them. I talked to them in conversation. I let them know what I did. I invited them to church. I just let them know I was a Christian. And before it was all said and done, I had an opportunity to talk to every one of them about Jesus. And that's the way we live our lives, boldly for Him, letting people know who we are, unashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me today, I will be ashamed of you in that day. I don't want Jesus to be ashamed of me. The Bible says that when He returns on that white horse, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, written on His thighs, that 10,000s of thousands will ride with Him. And on that day, you're not going to go, I'm ashamed of Him. On that day, you're going to go, me and Jesus, we're close. That's what you're going to want anyway. Amen. Now listen to the very last thing Jesus says now. Now we're down to it. We're down to the very last thing He says to the crowds. Jesus cried out. He cried this out. He didn't just say it. The word for cried here means loudly. He screamed it. He yelled it. Jesus cried out. He who believes in me believes not in me, but on Him who sent me. I'm not here on my own. I'm here because of the Father. You want to make it to God, you go through me. And he who sees me sees Him who sent me. I have come as the light of the world. And whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word which I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a commandment of which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, that I speak. One of the very last things Jesus talks about as He gives this public address is judgment. And He says, on that day, you're going to be judged because of the words that I say. If you reject Jesus today, there will come a day of judgment, and these very words you've heard, these very words you read, will become a judgment against you. You won't be able to say, I didn't know. I never heard. The very words will be a judgment against you. And if today you would receive Jesus, listen, three things would happen for you. Number one, your sins would be separated from you as far as the east is from the west. Your sin, your guilt, your shame. You, on your worst day, will be forgiven. Only God can forgive that sin, make you white as snow and righteous, and that's awesome. Number two, because your sins are removed and God is righteous, now you can get to know the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can start a relationship with Him, which is what salvation is all about. Jesus said, on that day I'll say to them, away from me, for I never knew you. That's religious people. Being religious can't get you into heaven. But if you know Jesus, you get into heaven. I have a couple of friends of mine who go out to the Cove. The Cove is where Billy Graham's at. And they've had an opportunity to meet Billy Graham. And I think that I've never met him. Once you meet Billy Graham, you want to tell people, I met Billy Graham, right? And so I have a friend of mine who name drops once in a while. I was out at the Cove and I got a chance to talk to Billy Graham. And I said to him, and I go, wait a minute. You talked to Billy Graham? So I want to harass him because he name dropped, right? I was talking to Billy Graham. And so I said to him, well, I was talking to Jesus Christ last night. How about that for name dropping? You get a chance to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, which is better than any person that ever lived. Finally, the Bible says in Acts 27, God is a God that puts people in times and places. Do you know that God has put you here and that God has put you in this time? You are alive now. You could have been alive at any time in history, but you are alive now for a reason, and you are here now for a reason. God's got a call on your life. God's got a reason for you. God's got a race for you to run. He's got a purpose for you to live your life. And if you would receive Him today, or maybe if you've wandered away from Him, if you would come back to Him today, He would show you what He's got in plan for you. You'll find out why you are alive and what it's all about. There is a cause. Would you pray with me? Father, we want to thank You. As we take time to look at the last words of Jesus. And Lord, even as we said in the beginning, it's a bit predictable. He talks about judgment. He talks about salvation. He talks about believing. He talks about those who don't believe. He talks about those who can't believe. And Lord, now as we come to the end of this passage, we say to You, we believe in You. And Lord, we want to live for you. And I pray for those who are here who have never received you, that you would give them the boldness to make that commitment today. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, or your eyes bowed, your heads closed. No, that's not the right one. For a few minutes, we're not going to keep you a long time. I can't do that. We've got another service coming up. But I want to give you an opportunity if you're here today and you have never received Jesus. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. He will adopt you into his family if you believe in his name. If today you would say, Lord, I receive you, it means that if you don't want to, you don't have to. No one can force you to become a believer. But if today you say, I want to live for him, I'm ready to live for him, then I pray that you have the boldness now to raise your hand. And if you raise your hand, I want to pray for you, and then we're going to pray together. So if you're here today and you want to invite Jesus into your life, you want to have your sins forgiven, you want to enter into a relationship with him, and you want to find out what God has planned for you, the purpose, the reason that you were made, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you're at. Just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now. God bless you, ma'am, right down here in the front. I want to acknowledge your hand. God bless you guys, both of you, underneath the balcony to my right. That's awesome. God bless you, the Bible up there, sir, and God bless you back further in the balcony. That's great. Anyone else? God bless you, sir. Off to my left, that's great. God bless you guys on the front row. That's awesome. God's doing a great work. God bless you there. Ma'am, I saw your hand. Anyone else? All right, you could put your hands down. I wish I had time to call you guys forward. You guys are going, I'm glad you don't. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for those that raise their hands. Lord, thank you for touching their heart and showing them that you love them. You got a plan for them. We thank you that you're forgiving their sins and giving them a fresh and a new start. You are a God of new beginnings. How awesome. We pray that they would be bold in you. We pray that they would be established in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like everybody to repeat this prayer after me, including those who raised your hand. And if you raise your hand, pray this prayer with some fervency. Mean it when you pray. So repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you by the power of the resurrection. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Let's all stand. Stand to your feet, would you? Let's all stand. And for those of you who gave your life to the Lord, I'll never forget, I gave my life to the Lord at 14. I gave my life again to the Lord because I'd walked away at 19 years old. And I can tell you that both times God did incredible things in my life. God will change you. You will never be the same. The Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. We're so excited for you.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and His Word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Christian, you were called by God to influence our culture for Christ. The 2023 Defending the Faith Conference is happening March 6th through 8th in Tucson, Arizona. Learn from incredible pastors and leading experts like David Guzik, Greg Kokel, and Frank Turek, who will be sharing teachings that are biblical and highly practical. You will be equipped to answer the hardest questions Christians face. Register today to attend Defending the Faith, the 2023 Southwest Pastors and Leaders Conference, March 6th through 8th in Tucson, Arizona. Learn more and register at calvarytucson.com/conference. That's calvarytucson.com.